Dr. Deb Stroman of the UNC Kenan Flagler Business School is going to be one of those joining us at the election evening coverage tomorrow evening. But right now she's not in Chapel Hill. She's up in Washington, D.C., wrapping up the Global Sports Mentoring Program. This is part of the Empowering Women and Girls Through Sports Initiative, along with the U.S. Department of State and ESPNW. And that just wrapped up. She joined us now on the phone. Dr. Stroman, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. I am so fired up. It's been a wonderful day here in our great city, Washington, D.C., and been in the company of 17 emerging leaders, young women from around the world, from Benin, and for some people in the Chapel Hill Triangle area, had a chance to meet Pamela Akpogan from West Africa to the Philippines to a country. I want to see if I can stump you, Aaron. Have you ever heard of Movado?
Movado? Yeah. No, actually, I don't think I have.
It's between Ukraine and Romania.
Oh, Moldova. Yeah.
Moldova.
Yes. That one I've heard of.
You knew.
Yeah.
Okay. But it's just been a wonderful, wonderful day. They've been presenting their pitches, their action plan as to how they will use sport to change their country. And it's everything from thinking of ways that they can care for athletes after their Olympic experience or national experience, to empowering girls using education by teaching additional sports, to opening up doors, opportunities to work in companies and organizations. So just an empowering day for all of these women.
How did this all come about?
Well, actually, it started about 5 years ago, 2012. And at the time, Hillary Clinton was very, very moved by how sport can change lives. And so she was a part of governmental leaders who decided to do more in our sports diplomacy arena with the state. And then John Skipper, our very own Tar Heel, took the initiative once he heard about it and said it's a great way for ESPN to get involved and to showcase all that they do outside of the broadcast room. And so they're utilizing ESPNW, that great subsidiary, which is focused on the empowerment of women and girls in sport. So through that partnership, they've been able to identify host sites all around the country, people willing to host these amazing young women and give them support, give them contacts, give them resources so they can be effective leaders in their country.
That's really cool. So what were some of the best stories that you heard from people at the conference?
Well, there's no doubt whenever you're talking about pitching, especially in business, you want to touch the heart. You want to create emotion, a connection. And there were just, these women who, some of them are national athletes, some of them play just a little bit of sport, but they were able to touch our hearts. One in particular is Melody. She's from New Zealand, and she is a successful New Zealand rugby player. And she no longer plays rugby, but she's a broadcaster. And hearing her story about how some of the negative comments about her being a female, broadcasting this particular very, very aggressive sport, and how she was motivated to change that into something positive. And so she wants to create a boot camp for young girls and to give them the opportunity to learn how to be a broadcaster, how to be in media and be confident and be strong. And then, of course, it closed out with the very positive comments of people who appreciate her voice and appreciate her being in this space. And of course, I've got to mention my own Pam Akpogan and her wonderful story about being from Benin and how it's very, very difficult for young girls to not only participate in sport, but to even go to a formal school. Over 30-some-odd% of the young girls there get married early. And when I say early, it's not like United States where you're getting married at age 21. We're talking about ages 9 to 11 mm-hmm. years old, arranged marriages, and how she has used sport to find her voice being a young basketball player and how that's given her the confidence to now be a leader in the continent of Africa for scouting.
That's incredible. And it really is a testament to all of the challenges that we face both here in America and also worldwide, and the power of sports to actually make a difference.
Well, there's no doubt it's one of the few domains or industries where you can have red sitting next to purple, young sitting next to old, various ethnicities, religious faiths. We could all come together and cheer together or provide I guess you could say, some smack talk to one another. And we can laugh and smile and cry, and it just does that for us. And I think we continue to use sport as that platform to make that happen. I think it's really, really a time where we all just pause and say, let's cheer on our team, let's cheer on the entire operation, and let's have success. And I think we're doing that well.
Speaking with Dr. Deb Stroman, UNC Kenyon Flagler Business School, we're talking about the Global Sports Mentoring Program, which just wrapped up in Washington, D.C. And Dr. Stroman, you're there. It's got to be an incredible honor for you. How was it that you got to go?
Well, it is. Very, very blessed to be a part of this program. I have to give big props, big thanks to Carrie Zary. She is an executive with Ketchum Sports and Entertainment, and that is a global firm that works to not only empower girls and women, but is a big, big marketing agency firm for a lot of the big four sports. And Carrie, we met not only through my basketball analytics summit, but also we're a part of the board of directors for a new chapter of an organization called WISE, Women in Sport and Entertainment. We're bringing that to the greater Raleigh area. And Carrie mentioned, Deb, I love your spirit, your interest in trying to help young people. Have you heard about this program? And I said, no. I've always been intrigued with sports diplomacy, though, but of course my work has been primarily here in the United States. But she said it's a wonderful way to get involved, and I'm going to recommend you. And fast forward, I'm a part and had the wonderful opportunity to showcase Pamela around UNC, Durham, Raleigh, and even took her over to Greensboro and Charlotte.
That's really cool. Well, again, we're speaking with UNC Kenyon Flagler Business School Professor Deb Stroman, who's up there at the Global Sports Mentoring Program in Washington, D.C. If you're listening out there and you want to find out more about this program, globalsportsmentoring.org is the website. You can get more information there. There's a couple other websites where you can find out more, too, but that's one of the center ones, globalsportsmentoring.org, if you want to get more info. Deb, let's switch focus and take it back to Chapel Hill, because there's a lot happening here in our community on the field. You've got Tar Heel field hockey, men's and women's soccer, all three in action over the weekend, and Tar Heel football with another big win over Georgia Tech.
Well, I think we just repeat this every week. It's just so exciting to be a part of a university that has such outstanding athletics. Yes, we are all feeling the buzz from UNC football and their opportunity to go to a significant bowl. It's going to be tough for them to break into that college football playoff ranking. We're going to need some help. Virginia Tech, in order to get this coastal championship, we're not going to get another chance at Virginia Tech, so we're going to need some help from some of our ACC peers. Unfortunately, Duke couldn't do it for us this weekend. But, you know, field hockey, I know they lost in the finals there, but an amazing run. They weren't expected to get that far with the ACC championship. But as we know, Coach Karen Shelton, a Hall of Fame coach, they're going to be right there in the thick of things for the Final Four and for the national championship. So that's always great. And, of course, the other fall teams continue to, you know, it's a matter of when you put North Carolina on the front of your uniform, everybody makes that your big game. And as opposed to being a university where we kind of struggle in that regard, more often than not, high percentage-wise, North Carolina, the Tar Heels, come out with the W. So it's exciting just to see this run in the fall. We know men's basketball has started now, had an exhibition game. So we're all pumped for, you know, the flagship sport for our athletic department. But still, we have to give thanks. We have to give kudos that we actually get a chance to be a part of an amazing athletic program.
Got to ask about strategy with Tar Heel football, because I remember last year the Tar Heels were doing so well. They made it into the top 10. They got the Coastal Division Championship. You go up against Clemson in the ACC title game. If you lose big, you end up getting knocked back in the polls and maybe knocked back to a lesser bowl than you might otherwise have gone to. And I know this has been the case in like the Big Ten and the SEC and any other league with multiple divisions. The team that ends up winning the division may end up going to a lesser bowl than the team that finishes second, just because the team that wins the division ends up going up in the championship game and getting creamed, and then that team that's behind them in the standings ends up jumping them in the rankings. So is there a little part of you that wants Virginia Tech to win out so that Carolina can just be in a nice 10-2 and maybe 12th or 13th in the rankings and get to a nice New Year's Day bowl?
You are just too observant to notice these things. You know, it's hard to cheer against, you know, everybody winning, everybody doing their best each and every game. But you're right, in terms of strategy, it makes all the sense. And then, of course, from the economic sense, it would be great to go to a bigger showcase bowl. And many times with this, it isn't so much that you're going to a bowl, you're looking at who is the opponent. Mm-hmm. You want to go against somebody that you can make a statement against, that they're going to bring their fan base and we're going to bring ours, and that just creates a much better atmosphere. So you're spot on, Aaron.
All right. Well, we got to let you go, but before we do, let's go up a level, because I know you wanted to talk about the NFL. And although you're a Vikings fan and I'm a Lions fan, I'm not even going to talk about that game.
Thank you.
Let's talk about the Cowboys instead, because this is the one team that's actually seems to be emerging. And I guess you got the Patriots on the other side of the league in the AFC, but the Cowboys and the Patriots seem to be emerging among this sort of hodgepodge of so many teams in the middle of the pack in basically every single division in the NFL. There's a lot of parity here, but Cowboys and Patriots, both one loss teams. Patriots seem to be rolling now. They got Brady back. They're doing good. Cowboys, on the other hand, even though they got a winning record, they got a winning streak, they've got a little bit of a situation with their quarterback position. So what do you make of them?
Well, my AFC team is Oakland, so before we put pencil in New England, I want to mention Oakland.
That's true.
And I'm hoping that Oakland can recover from that Snow Bowl game where they cheated them, but that's another story. But most non-Cowboy fans are cheering for Tony Romo to come back, because he's 36 years old, and his great success as a wonderful quarterback has been in the regular season. And towards the end of the regular season in the playoffs, that's when you see the Tony Romo that just makes unbelievably strange passes, interceptions, fumbles, and things like that. But there is no doubt that Dak Prescott is a great story for the Cowboys. A fourth rounder, and now he is just leading this team like a solid veteran. The players have rallied behind him, and I think if the coach, if Jerry Jones, if they decide to make this move, the upside is so, so risky. Why not run this story out? If he makes the mistakes and he doesn't get to the NFC Championship or even the Super Bowl, you can say, look what we have. Tony's rested, and we could probably get another 2 or 3 years out of him. But if you pull him and Tony Romo does not take the team, not to the NFC Championship, but to the Super Bowl, it's going to be a major backlash for Dallas. I think with this game this past weekend, this was the make or break one. And they were solid, even though Cleveland Browns, not a strong team, not a strong opponent, but Dak did what he needed to do, and I would be very surprised if there were any changes made at this point in quarterback position.
You mentioned the Raiders. The Chiefs are also looking pretty good, and the Broncos in the AFC West. And other than that, the Patriots and the Cowboys, and that's pretty much it in terms of teams that are doing really well this year. Have you ever seen this much parity in a league?
Well, the scoring is still, you know, tight in the sense that teams can still lose. But this runaway, having four-game leads on some of your division teams, that is a little different over the past few years. But the NFL is the type of league where in the playoffs, home field advantage is really not as solid as you would think.
Mm-hmm.
If a team has momentum, it's going to be those last 2 weeks of the regular season. Teams get that momentum, they can make a run to the championship. So I wouldn't necessarily say that this 7-1 or even 8-1, 9-1 is going to be safe. These teams step up when they get that momentum. And if you have a hot quarterback, unless you have just a shutdown defensive back and great pass, if you have some great blitzes and things like that to really stop, these offenses get going and the defense really doesn't have a chance.
We're speaking again with Dr. Deb Stroman, UNC Keenan Flagler Business School. And Dr. Stroman, we're going to let you go right now, but we'll talk to you tomorrow night on election night, right?
Yes, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a great, great opportunity for us to be able to share about the election and the results. And, of course, it is a very, very special time for our country. As much as we've been complaining and criticizing and tired of this long election cycle, we are very, very blessed to have what we have here in America in terms of our political, at this time, this political opportunity. So I look forward to it.
All right. Well, we'll talk to you tomorrow night. Have a safe trip back from D.C. Thank you so much.
Thank you.